The following lecture, titled Muslim Americans Planning and Developing Neighborhoods for All to Benefit, was recorded Sunday, December 13, 1998, at the Northwest Activity Center in Detroit, Michigan. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah. That is, praise be to God, the Lord, the cherisher, keeper of the worlds. We trust him. We put our complete trust in him. We worship him. We ask him for his mercy. We ask forgiveness for our sins, our errors, our mistakes. And we ask that he guide us always. For as is written in the holy book, Quran, the last revelation or the last book from God, without him guiding us, we would never have found guidance. We salute the last prophet, Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed better than 1400 years ago, with the traditional salute of Muslims all around the world. We say the prayers and the peace be upon him. Alayhi salatu wa salam. The prayers and the peace be upon him and what follows of that salutation. I spoke to Brother Rafa, who's staying in touch with you here in your efforts here to promote the good works, the religion, and all of the other obligations we have in the religion and under the religion, under the law, laws and instructions and commandments of the Quran, the religion. And that is our responsibility to our families, to try hard as healthy, able-bodied men in their own good minds, to give a good environment, a good home environment to our wives and our children. And you can't do that without a job, without income, without working hard to all together to strengthen the business life of our community, the business establishments of the members of our community, or in the, of the members in our community. All of this is very much necessary in order to enjoy the good life. That's why on the day of Jummah, Friday, which the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, gave to us, Jummah, Friday, as the most special day. No day is more special in the life of believers, Friday, Jummah day. He made it even more special than the two major holidays the Muslims have, the Eids. The Eid after the Ramadan fast and the Eid on the 10th day of pilgrimage, Hajj, to the holy precincts, to the Kaaba, the holy house, sacred precincts. And you will recall, some of you, and many of you maybe, a Eid day that was Friday, and you recall that we had to make Friday prayer and have Jummah on that Eid day. The Eid prayers do not interfere with or change Jummah prayer and the Jummah service khutbah. That should tell us a lot. And in the chapter of the Quran, of the last book of Muslims' Bible, we should say. Bible only means book. It comes from the word biblio, means book. And certainly our holy book is a book. So it wouldn't be improper to say our holy Bible, meaning our holy book. In that chapter, God says to us, when the call for prayers on Friday is given, leave off your business. Close your business down. Put the business down. And come to the Jummah, to the Friday service. The congregational prayer on Friday. But in the same, continuing on, the statement is not finished, that and when the Jummah is concluded, when it's over, finished, God doesn't say, it's okay for you to do this. God doesn't say, you're permitted to do this. God says, then go out, disperse, into the ways of business, into the avenues of your business, of your businesses. So we don't have a day like many people have, a seventh day of the week where they take off from work. They just wash up and then go and eat and drink and sleep and pray or whatever, or go to the movies or whatever. We don't have a day like that. On our most sacred day, on the day of worship, we go to the worship, we go to the Jummah, and do the prayers, hear the khutbah, and do the prayers, and when it all is finished, we go back to our businesses. Now, God has made business very important for us. If the Eid, if the two holy Eids, the two sacred holidays we have, they can't interfere with this Friday Jummah service, but business is mentioned, and on the same day after you conclude the service, you are told to go from the Jummah back to your businesses. Now, it doesn't mean everybody. God knows some of you can't do any business. But those, God knows that. But those who can do business and doing business, God is telling them, go back to your business. Why? Because somebody has to support the community. And these people are very important. The business people are very important to the community. If their businesses are neglected, if they have a chance to close on a business deal today and make $5,000 or whatever, or $500, that's money. That helps them and it helps their family and helps the community. When they are helped, the community is helped because they have more in charity. The more they are helped, the more they have to put in charity. See? And charity is not supposed to be supported by people on welfare. Charity is supposed to be supported by people who have lawful income. Employed, lawfully employed, and have lawful halal income. Halal means lawful. Islamic term. You see? So this is the reality. So I was talking to Brother Rafa, and I said, Brother Rafa, I said, what is my subject? What am I supposed to talk of today, or this day? It was the days ahead in Detroit. He said, well, Brother Man, you're free to talk on whatever you want to talk. So I saw your theme, the theme here, and it's right up under my picture. So I'm sure that people you gave this flyer to, they expect me to talk on what's under my picture. Muslim American planning and developing neighborhoods for all to benefit. Then that's the subject. And I've just addressed it. Now let us talk on what holds the business up. Something has to support business. There has to be something to assure business that it's got good foundation, that it's got good security, that it's safe, it's protected, you're not going to lose it. And what is that? Keeping yourself aware that there's a God that made everything possible, and that there's a God that is ever ready to assist your good doings, your good actions, your good efforts, and give you much more results than you could get alone. In fact, in the end, if you go it alone without God, the result is going to be hellfire. It may look good for a while, but the results in the end will be hellfire if you go it without God. Russia is a living testimony to that. They went, the leaders, the founding fathers of their nation, the Communist Society, the Communist Soviet Union, they dismissed God. They wouldn't even include God in their language. They forbid the government from including God and denied the people the right or the freedom to practice religion publicly. They lived about 70 years. And now they're on welfare. It's a reality. It's the facts I'm telling you. The big, powerful Soviet Union is on the welfare. What I mean, they're asking for public assistance. Who is the public? American taxpayers. They want the United States government to use our taxes, use our money to help bail them out, to help strengthen their economy. And they're asking Japan, they're asking every strong economic order or country to help them come out of what they're in, strengthen their economy. So they're like on public welfare. And the imam said that he didn't get to Jannah. He didn't want to come to Jannah on welfare.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mailed to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
You know, nothing is worth talking about for a religious community until we first consciously accept that God makes everything possible. And without us striving to respect God, we have no guarantee whatsoever that anything we try to do is going to be a success. Business, I don't care what it is. What puts us in a good position to be successful in business, successful with a neighborhood development program, is just that, faith in God and a desire to please God, which means to obey His plan for our life. God made everything. God planned me to be like I am. God planned me to have eyes to see with, two eyes to see with, ears to hear with, a tongue to speak, a language, intelligence behind all that. God planned this. Nothing planned this but God. So if I want to plan something else using what God gave me, doesn't it make good common sense for me to turn to God and acknowledge God and seek God's help? And God says through Muhammad, that is, Muhammad said directly, but it's God that put this in Muhammad to say to us that the servant of God, pardon me, the servant of God, that continuously, over and over again, turn to God, though he make mistakes, though he fall into sin, but every time he becomes aware that he has sinned, he turns to his Lord, God who made him and everything, and he says to God, I have done wrong. God, my Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me my sin. Muhammad the prophet said that that person can establish with God a record of having done that every time he committed sin, every time he erred over a long period of time. And Muhammad the prophet said, prayers and peace be upon him, that God at one point said to such a servant, go on, you're free, you're on your own. Meaning that he didn't really have to be concerned for that person. That person had proven by his record of acknowledging mistakes and sins and turning to his God right away to get forgiveness, that he established a record, and really God didn't have to be worried about that person anymore. That person could be trusted on his own. So God said to that servant, go on your own, you're on your own. Meaning that I trust you. That's what God said that means. I trust you. You have proven that you will keep your life straight for God by your constant effort to repent errors of sins and sins and get my forgiveness and go out with determination not to do that again. And another thing the prophet has said, that's good for his people of faith. If you're an atheist, then you can have the communist philosophy, the communist party philosophy. You don't need this religion. If you don't believe in God, if you're not a person of faith, then you don't need this. You need the communist materialistic idea, the idea in dialectic materialism, that there is no God, that all this material world happened on its own by itself, didn't have a creator, didn't have a maker, that matter is the boss. You can go get that and see, can you live more than 70 years before you come to your demise? But if you're a person of faith, then you're in the right place and you listen to the right man. Because I'm a man of faith. I don't have anything before faith. Before faith, I have nothing. Faith makes possible all the other things for me. Faith in the one God. And in the man, the human man. The man like us, human nature, not spook, not angel, not some different type of human being. No, common type human being, Muhammad the prophet. I have him as my leader and I have faith in him. I follow him with no suspicion, no doubt, with nothing but enthusiasm, sound belief, firm faith in him. So this is your leader. If you're comfortable with me being that kind of leader, then I'm comfortable with you being the kind of person you are. Praise be to Allah. Faith in God. That's first and that's last. Without it, we have nothing. God says of this creation, of this material scheme, the world that we see all about us, including ourselves, we are material, we are flesh. We come from the earth. We are part of the material scheme, the whole material world. We are part of that. We are born out of it, physically, materially. We are the product of this material scheme, this great material world. And when we die, the proof that we belong to it, it takes us back. Ain't nothing we can do to escape that. It's going to take us back. This flesh is going to go back to this material scheme, this material world that it came from, that produced it. Bones and everything goes back. In time, you can't tell you were ever a human being. In time, you look like nothing but sand, dust, rock, stone, whatever. There'll be nothing left. In time, even the bones go back to earth. You don't see anything but earth. So that's a physical, real proof that I and my body and myself came from this material world. So the Lord God that made all of it made us. And he says that he made us from the earth, from clay, from dust, from water, etc. Meaning from the world, from the earth, the water, the earth itself, from the ground. That's what we are made from. And we go back to the ground when we are dead. So that God says of this great material scheme, that means the whole world, everything you see up there, out in front of you, behind, everywhere, down, everywhere. He says, it is supported by something that you can't see with your eyes. Now, God said that in the scripture 1,400 years ago. After hearing that revelation from God about how the stars are supported up there, studious followers of the prophet, his students, they will say disciples, his students, they began to study the heavens as astronomers. They began to study the skies and the objects in the skies, the moon, the sun, how it follows from sunrise to sunset, the moon, how it goes through phases, the stars, how they change in the heavens from one position to another in the skies. They began to study all that. And they revived the sciences, we call astronomy. They revived that knowledge. It was lost. The world during this time had gone away from those things. They had started making all the heavens become the skies and the objects there had a place only in their religious symbolism, in metaphysics, in symbolism, in a language that was addressing the spiritual side of life. But they had no scientific thinkers studying the world objectively. That had been lost. They had had it before. Africa had had that kind of science before. Asia had had it before. The Greeks had had it before. But they had gone to sleep. They had neglected that kind of scientific study. And it was the Quran and Muhammad that revived their interest in that and caused them to study it again. So God says the big objects up there in the space, now they didn't know they were big, they appeared to be very small. But we don't need any very complicated theories to have us understand that those objects out there are not small but big. All you need is common sense. Now, you know, if you can see a house, and that house in the distance, and you know the distance is far, it appears to be three feet high, you know with common sense that as you get closer to it, it's going to get higher and higher. And pretty soon it's going to look just like all other houses. It's going to be high, just like the houses in your near surrounding. You know that. Michelangelo, the great painter from Italy. You go to the great St. Peter's Cathedral, and you'll see Michelangelo's pictures of a bird and people in the cathedral. And he knew by common sense. He knew that the bird up there at a height of 20 feet or 30 feet in the building should not look like the in size like the bird that's right before your face, only 2 or 3 feet from your eye. So he made it to appear smaller, so it looks real. If he made it the same size, then that bird would, in the thinker, in the mind of a person that's thinking, would say, hey, that bird ain't supposed to be that big. That bird at that distance wouldn't look that big. So if we see in the nighttime a bright star, and it seems to be far, much farther away from our eyes, physical eyes, than the sun, we must then reason with common sense that that object is really bigger than our sun.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-7867. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.